Here we are getting ready for the Kings and the Warriors in the play-in, and now the NBA has another scandal on its hands after what Boban Marjanovic did yesterday, huh?
He can't do that. You cannot miss a free throw on purpose just to get the fans some chicken. And he was the visitor, too. It wasn't even, he's on the road, and he's hooking the fans up. You can't do that, Whitey. Can't do that.
Well, you know how hard it is. It's hard enough to make it. Sometimes it's even harder to miss. It was a pretty good miss.
Right.
I mean, he caught the rim. Everybody had a good what's the problem? Everybody enjoyed it. It was a great moment for the league.
I don't know.
If you're the commissioner, you go, I don't know. We may have to talk to him or do something.
Right. Yeah, the game wasn't a blowout. It was 4 minutes and change left. And Compio on the YouTube chat, I see you out there, Compio. Boban needs to be suspended, he says. You can't be doing that. You intentionally missed a free throw, not for gamesmanship, not to help your team win, but to give fans free chicken?
It's a chicken wing.
What really makes me mad is that he didn't do that when they were here for a crumble cookie.
Right, right. Yeah. But let me ask you this. I don't know, was it Chick-fil-A or let's say, if I'm that company, I'm revoking that. He violated the spirit of the contest.
You would be killed doing that.
I know. Yeah. Can you imagine if the crumble cookies, would be like, oh, I want my cookies. But seriously, though, you can't do, I don't know, man. That's shady. What if you're an opponent?
It's a tough one. Is he, and especially because he may be done, right? I don't know. That could be his last game.
It might be his last, yeah. I don't know. That's.
Have you ever seen the movie The Princess Bride?
I don't remember. Okay. You're going back three decades.
Andre the Giant plays the Princess Bride. If they ever redo that movie, Boban's
got to
be
it. Yeah. I do remember that now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's that good. He's great. Do you need anything else? I can reach it. So good for him. Good for him. You can't suspend him, Compio. He's probably done. It's probably his last game. Was yesterday the last win for the Kings this year?
No.
There you go.
Are you really asking him?
I'm asking you.
Nah, man, my guys will get it done. They're in the lab right now, working hard, getting ready. They'll be ready for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Interesting situation, right? Because Friday, we're so hopeful. They could be seventh. They could be, maybe eighth. And here they are at ninth after a big win yesterday. So you look ahead, try to make the best of it. After the game, I asked Coach Brown, all right, making the play-in tournament. Would you consider that an accomplishment?
I think, anything to get to the postseason is something to be excited about. Now, are we disappointed? Would we prefer to finish first? Hell yeah. Second, yes. Any of that is better than finishing 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. But for our guys to kind of go through what they went through and fight and continue, because we could have cashed it in a long time ago and some of our losses down the stretch, they were good teams, and our guys fought. They never threw the towel in, and, it hurts, and I'm glad that it hurts. I'm glad that it bothered us, because that's usually when you grow the most. So anytime you can play after your last regular season game, it's a positive. But, I'm not trying to say, hey, yes, this is the best thing ever, because we wanted more. And we didn't get more, but it's okay. We're on the path or journey that we're on. Let's freaking go get it.
So you could hear him struggling with that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if he has answered the question.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's like this. I was thinking about it last night. And sometimes you're in school, you're in college, whatever. Sometimes you have a big assignment, right? A big assignment. Get to a point where you realize, I'm not going to get this done. So you got to go to the professor. For whatever reason, professor, I need an extension. And if you get the extension, it's like, whew, that's great.
Yeah.
However, so the extension is a good thing, but you still have to finish the assignment.
Right.
So the plan for the Kings is you got your extension, but you still have to finish the assignment.
There. Right. And it's almost like you're kicking the final project down the road. You get another week.
Yeah.
That extension you're talking about. And so to me, and
but
I agree with
you. You haven't done anything yet.
You haven't done anything yet. Exactly. You have not accomplished anything. And I wonder, a lot of times, guys, all season long we've been talking about, well, if this season would have happened last year, we would have been. I don't know how excited would we be right now last year, you know, if this was the path towards breaking the drought, if you're the Sacramento Kings. I think because of we ended the drought last year, making it to the play-in doesn't do much for me this year.
No.
It's like, you know, it honestly, I could say you've underachieved, to be honest, you know, from the start of the season expectations. It is what it is. But I'm not saying, you know, I'm not thinking they accomplished anything by, you know, achieving the play-in. Although I will say.
You go from what, third to ninth, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's.
But did you, the Warriors, same record as us, the most wins ever by a number 10 seed. And so this is an unusual year where a lot of very good teams in the Western Conference. I mean, look at it. You go out east, the Kings would have finished eighth. They would have finished with Miami, you know? And so I look at, and then you look at the Eastern Conference as well, 3 through 8 separated by 3 games. Everything, and so the Kings, to me, when you look at it, they may be ninth, but they're in just like Phoenix, just like New Orleans, Lakers, Warriors. And so I don't think you could separate them being the ninth place team. Like, I could argue they could be as good as the sixth best. You know what I mean? Like, everybody is just grouped together. And so with this week, if they don't make it out of the play-in, it's a disappointment, I think.
Yes.
It's you've fallen short of expectations because ultimately you did not make the playoffs.
All the comparisons you just made, which are all accurate, obviously, they're all based on your whole season, though. Mm-hmm. And that's where Kings fans get discouraged is when you look at how they're playing of late at a time when you'd like to be playing your best basketball. Not all the playoff teams or play-in teams are, but you'd like to be gaining some momentum. And instead, with Malik having just recently been hurt, the Kings are still trying to figure some things out. So that just adds to this sense, obviously, of vulnerability. It's like, oh, man, here we go. Couldn't hang on to the sixth spot. I mean, they were right there a few weeks ago. It's like, well,
right,
you know, they're probably going to be in the playoffs. And now to fall all the way to ninth and then to have these two daunting games ahead of you, that's, I understand why Kings fans right now are not feeling very encouraged about things.
And here's the thing. Less than a week ago, we were talking about six. Remember,
right,
before the Pelicans game?
Yes.
Even, you know, there was still a shot at the six.
I asked you once a few weeks ago, hey, you think they could catch the Clippers? Remember?
Yeah, yes. We were only like 2 or 3 behind the Clippers at the time. And I think this finish to this season has been brutal. You know, every game that they could have won, they lost, basically. Like, there weren't any games. Maybe the Clippers won at home that one Tuesday where you thought, man, we probably aren't going to win this one, but we did. You know, it was always like, all right, we got a chance to win and we lose. Like, the bottom falls out. Knicks game, Celtics game, OKC, Phoenix, New Orleans. Like, all these games, the 50-50 games, they all went against us down the stretch.
The craziest thing about this year to me is the fact that the Kings last year, record-setting offense, and this year, oh, if they could only be a little better defensively, a little better.
Mm.
Well, according to defensive rating, they're a lot better. And yet the offense backslid to a degree that I don't think anyone saw that coming. That was, I want to ask, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 on the chat, on the text line. The one thing about the Kings' regular season that surprised you the most, for better or for worse, good thing, bad thing, the one thing that surprised you the most. To me, that was a huge surprise that the defense was way better, but the offense really took a step back.
It did. And, you know, here's the thing about the Kings' offense, though, because, you know, I look at the numbers. This year, they were 13th in offensive rating at 116.2.
13th.
But you also, Whitey, have to look at the NBA has changed. Like, there are.
And by the way, I think they were 14th before yesterday.
Oh, so
they
are.
I could be wrong, but I think 13th, they went up a spot.
They were 118.6, number one last year. Their 116.2 last year would have been good enough for sixth. There's just so many teams this year that have improved offensively. And when I look at the Sacramento Kings, it's not about the offensive rating for me. It's the shooting numbers everybody sort of regressed. When you look at it, I'm looking at field goal percentage. The Kings this season, total field goal percentage, shot 47.7% from the field. That was good enough for 14th. Last year, field goal percentage, 49.4, second. Mm-hmm. They were a better shooting team last year. And I mentioned it. Everybody pretty much regressed. Even De'Aaron Fox, sure, he knocked down a higher clip at three, but his two-point percentage, overall percentage, was much lower than it was a season ago.
De'Aaron Fox had some thoughts today on the Kings' defense this year in the second half of last year, and we will hear those when we come right back to Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. This is a great record. It's not a great song. It's a good song, but it's a great record, right?
Yes.
I mean, it is incredible.
Superstitious. What you know about this, Wade?
What does that even mean? A great record, but not a good song.
The song itself is like, oh, it's a pretty good song. But when you put everything together, the way it starts with just it starts with how many hit songs start with just the guy laying down the beat on the drums,
okay.
You know, and the funk and the way it's syncopated. I don't know.
I thought it was just great all around.
Yeah, it's a really good song, but I mean, the way it's produced with the horns, I don't know, Jay. You produce records, right? You would know better than I.
I was just trying to get an understanding where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think that's a really good song, but everything just elevates to a level where it's like, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice, dope song.
Yeah.
Legendary.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. By the way, tomorrow, if you're going out to the ball game, you get a chance, come by, say hi, because we're going to be out somewhere in the Doco area, and I would tell you more. Hopefully Jay knows, because I'm not
Sacramento,
sure exactly where we're going to be, but we'll be, if you're on your way to the game, you can't miss it.
Where's the location, Jay? Yeah. Where are we going to be?
It's going to be the island that sits in between the Punch Bowl and the Golden One Center. Allegedly, last year we were on the island. I guess we're going to be like the step below now, on the actual turf somewhere
around that area.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting because the turf wasn't there, you know, as of last year.
Uh-huh.
So, to be honest, we'll be somewhere in that area.
Will we have security, Jay? That's all I'm saying.
We might need it with you. We might have to.
Javier come lurking out again.
Nate Littlefield and Kyle Ledbetter will be our security.
Oh, my gosh.
And Frankie.
Softest Charmin, those three guys. Come on. And Frankie Clicks.
Called them Angel Soft?
Angel Soft, right?
Oh, those man. Those guys take care of
it. Nah, they're tough. They're tough guys. They're tough guys.
So that's tomorrow. Yeah, if you get a chance, come on by, because we're doing the show out there tomorrow, but we're not going to be in the arena tomorrow. We'll be out
and about. Then we'll make our way into the arena for the game. And so, no, it's last time we did a live show, had a few of our listeners stop by. Our guy Manny Too Legit hooked him up with some tickets. Not saying we're going to do that tomorrow.
Manny brought us, was it Vietnamese coffee?
Yes.
Woo!
Vietnamese iced coffee.
Yeah.
It was very strong. Yes. It was good, though. I liked it. But you could only have it in small doses, right?
Yes. It was really good. I just didn't sleep for 2 weeks.
Right.
D. Siberia on the chat. If Sabonis can, one, not whine about non-calls every other play. Two, not make lazy fouls after defensive breakdowns. Three, take open mid-range shots and make them, Kings win. Being too hard on Domas there?
Yes, 100%. It's not whine about non-calls every other play. I don't think he whines more than...
He really, by today's standards, he doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do it.
He does
it,
look.
Right. He does
he
look. He puts his hands
up. Yeah,
up,
but that's nothing today.
See, but that's what I'm talking about. That comment right there, that's the kind of thing that irks me. Because there's this narrative, this belief, whatever it is, that fans are going in on our guys, you know, overreacting, what D. Siberia said. Doesn't whine about non-calls every other play, lazy fouls. This is the worst team ever. I can't wait till this season is over. I think the angst, the narrative doesn't reflect the actual season that we had, Whitey. This is the seventh best season in Sacramento Kings history. Since the team came here in 85, this is the seventh best season. But listening to guys like D. Siberia, Carmichael Dave, and some of these other people on social media, Twitter, on air, you would think this team was 20-62. They've actually had a good season by King's standards.
They did. I know at various times this year people were talking about, oh, it can't get any worse, I thought, and then it did. It's like, how long have you been a fan around
That's
here?
What I'm talking about. How quickly we've – and so I just think – people are just overly negative about our guys for some reason.
The one thing about Domas, and we know there's a raging national debate about just how good he is. The one thing no one can argue is that he plays hard every game. And you can, you know, whether you acknowledge he's a really good player, some people think, he's overrated. The one thing, if you watch him, you have to acknowledge he plays hard.
He plays hard. He brings it every single night. It's never for a lack of trying or effort. It's not like he's scared or not ready for the smoke.
Right.
He puts on his hard hat, and he's ready to play every single
night. He's on the bench when he's out of the game. He's got ice on his face.
Right, exactly. The dude just did 10 rounds with Mike Tyson, and he's still out there battling. But here's more, you know, to my point that I was talking about, this negativity in this town, and we got to get it together, Sacramento. Your boy D-Side Siberia, whatever his name is, take an ice cold bath, everyone. It'll help with the pain and suffering after tomorrow's loss. Who are these losers?
Maybe
like, they aren't Kings fans. They aren't.
Could be a Warrior fan.
It might be a Closet Warrior fan. Because
a wolf in sheep's clothing.
This negativity, man. Jay, can we just get rid of him on the chat? I don't need to see this negativity right now. The boy's still got a chance. No, screw this guy, man. He don't come on our chat bringing all this negativity.
How about this? We just won't read it.
Oh, all right.
The customer you're trying to reach.
Rather than kick him out of the chat. You just don't have to read it.
Can I mute this guy? That's the best thing on social media. I don't know if you've had to do that yet. Instead of blocking someone, just mute them. Then you don't have to see their nonsense.
We can mute them now if you want.
I don't think we need to do
Just raise your hand. I got you.
No, let me see if he comes to his senses, apologizes, D-Siberia, and then you won't get muted. Like, he's just in his feelings, and I get it. It's been an emotional season, but I'm going to calm him down, bring him back to reality. 46 wins, 7th best winning percentage out of any Sacramento Kings team ever.
I just think if we start banning people because we suspect the Warrior fans, shame on us. We're better than that. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Before we get to the phones, I mentioned De'Aaron Fox.
Yes.
De'Aaron Fox was at practice today, and De'Aaron Fox was at practice today. Here's what he had to say about the Kings and their improvement defensively.
Oh, I mean, I think we've been more physical. Obviously, you know, they let some things go, but I think we've been rotating right. I think guys have been early to their spots, and I think we've been a bit of a better three-point defensive team than we have been earlier in the season. And I mean, like I said before, we weren't giving up a lot of threes, but teams were making a higher percentage, and I think we've been better at that since the All-Star break. But obviously this team and being one of the best three-point shooting teams for a long time, that's definitely an emphasis for us, and I mean, that's no surprise, like I said.
He was pretty upset Friday night. Sounds like he's calmed down, and yesterday he just doing whatever he wanted.
Yesterday was a light workout for him.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know who Portland, other than Chris Murray, I was like, and Dwight Reith, I didn't know who else they had on.
Chris Murray running his mouth a little bit. You see that?
No, he was talking some trash.
He was, and they asked Keegan, "What was your brother saying?" And he said, "Oh, he's just telling me how many offensive rebounds."
He said
he's being annoying.
Annoying. Yeah, he was crashing the glass. Yeah, 18 rebounds yesterday. Crazy.
So, what about this season, for better or worse, surprised you the most? How about Ben joining us here on Sacktown Sports? Hey, Ben, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Thank you so much for having me on. Great show so far. I just wanted to say, first of all, that very superstitious song, that should be like every Kings fan theme song. We're all very superstitious.
Yes.
But, I got two things. The first one being my biggest takeaway from this that was a surprise for me was not being able to close out in games where we had that late lead, which – we actually kind of did a lot better last year, and we just didn't do it. I think turning the corner, we thought it was going to be there, but it wasn't. That's one. And the other one, kind of coattailing on that, with how we were able to play last year, the disrespect for De'Aaron and DeMontis, especially with the All-Star voting and stuff like that, they still kick butt in a very, very competitive Western Conference. So you guys keep doing your thing. I love you guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate that. Nice I love stuff. The way he says, it's been a good show. So far.
You still got a chance to mess it up, right? You still got time.
You guys are doing good so far. How about Dave on Sacktown Sports? Hello, Dave. How are you?
Thanks very much for taking my call. Kyle, this is your main man, Reno Dave, buddy. When are we going to the Nugget and roll them bones together?
What's up, big dog? Hey, I'm going to have to come up and visit you, man. Hit some of them slot machines up there.
I can't wait to see it. We could stay up all night and go out in the daytime. You know what I mean? We're still young. We can do it.
I'm down, Dave. Let's do it, man.
Hey, Kyle, real quick, I wanted to make mention two surprises or disappointments for me are the continual victimization of Yomaz without any intervention from anybody. That's a shock how he continues to get hacked game after game. The second thing that I'm really pleased to see, Kyle, is probably around the midway point of the season up until now is the new development of Davion. Mm. Davion is he's darn near lights out, and we really need it at this time of the year. And Davion's bringing it. I'm really proud of him, and I think those are two subjects I just wanted to make mention to you, Kyle.
No, that's a great call right there. And to your point regarding Davion, you know, we talk about finding Keon Ellis, which, you know, has been tremendous. But the play of Davion Mitchell, especially since about mid-January or so, when you look at his production since January 22nd, I got those numbers right here. You know, the one thing we've talked about Davion is, can he score the ball? His three-point shooting. Well, since January 22nd, basically the last 41 games he played, he shot, get this, Whitey, 42.6% from three.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive. And I know it's a small sample size. He's not taking 7-8 a game, but he's knocking down the open looks. And I think that's going to be huge. He's been one of the players that stepped up with Malik out.
Yeah, during the summer, doing a show with Chris, we were making bold Kings predictions. And I said, Davion's going to shoot 35% from the three-point line this year.
Bingo.
First year, he was 32. Second year, he was 32. 36%
this year. 36%.
Boom.
You got that one right, man. Started off a little slow, but boom, your boy came through, man. And I think that it's been, you know, one of the revelations for this season. And I agree.
Nice looking shot.
Right. It feet set, got the form and everything. And I'm happy for him because nobody works harder than that guy.
Let's squeeze EJ in. EJ, you're in. You're on with the Drive Guys. What's up, EJ?
What's up, my guys? Hey, Sacramento, stand up. I'm ready. I'm hyped for the game. I'm hyped for
the
matchup.
Let's go, Sacramento.
I got to give you guys two things here. Number one, as far as Sabonis goes, why is anybody criticizing a man who played with a freaking broken thumb all last year?
Good
People
point.
Can't even put their pants on with a broken, you know, with a sprained ankle. Right? Meanwhile, this guy's leading the league in rebounds 2 years in a row, putting our town on the map and making everybody better. But anyway, let me get positive. You know who really surprised me and really just makes me smile? Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
Seeing his growth this year, seeing what he's done with his minutes, with his time, when he gets a game where he's playing some great defense, good energy, gets 12 to 15 points a game, that is all frosting on the cake, baby. And you know what? Anybody who's sour on how this season is going is just – has, quite frankly, amnesia. I remember everybody who was hyped up in the days when we had Reggie Theus, Joe Klein, when we were rooting for Olden Polynice, you should be happy we're in here right now. We got nothing to be ashamed of, win or lose, because we got a bright future ahead of us here, and we will beat the Warriors tomorrow. You guys?
Yeah. Oh, he called his shot.
EJ!
Power at it, boys. Let's do this.
He's calling his
shot.
EJ.
You know, there have been how many coaches in the history of the Kings who've coached a team into the playoffs? I think four. I think you had Phil Johnson.
Yeah.
You have Adelman, of course,
Adelman
many times. Mike Brown. And Gary St. Jean.
Jean, yes.
And the saintly one, he was courtside with Vivek and C-Web Friday. He used to coach the Warriors. He was a Warrior GM, so he's got a unique perspective on this game tomorrow night. And Gary St. Jean joins us next as the Drive Guys roll on Sacktown. Was it really exactly a year ago, Drapes, that the Kings and the Warriors opened their series?
Game one.
Wow.
Exactly 1 year ago today, April 15th.
Well, I love it when the Kings play the Warriors because it gives us a reason to bring on our next guest, who's one of my all-time favorite guests. He's been so generous with his time over the years, and we learned so much from him. Former head coach of the Kings and Warriors, former Warrior GM, outstanding NBA analyst, the guy that taught Hank Finkel everything he knew about the game. Gary St. Jean, how are you, Coach?
Whitey, that's amazing that you know about Hi, Henry Finkel.
Now, were you, I think you were courtside Friday, right, with Vivek and
C-Web?
Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, MJ and I came up because my son Greg's coaching with Phoenix. And so my grandson William came, and my daughter Emily, and my son-in-law Patrick. And so we had a great time. I got to tell you guys, the Kings, they're the best. We love coming up there. Everybody's so friendly and nice. Just a terrific night. And got to see Webb and Vlade and sat with Vivek. So it was a tough outcome, but it sure was nice to see a lot of old friends.
Coach, it's Kyle here. You know, knowing where this organization, this franchise came from with the drought, seeing it on the verge of its second straight playoff appearance, just remark, if you will, on the changes you've seen with this franchise and this organization. You know, it's been interesting this season. I feel like last year we were all excited. It was rah-rah. This year, fans actually expect to win and are disappointed when we lose. Can you just speak to just how far this franchise has come?
Kyle, you're spot on in that regard with the fans. But yet, you know, those fans, they stick with you, you know, no matter what's going on. I've got tremendous memories about the Cowbells. And I got to tell you, Vivek and his crew have committed to this team, that the fans are behind them, great arena. And you've got two stars, you know, with Fox and Sabonis. Those are big-time players, terrific players. And, you know, you're going to look at that trade with you know, bringing Sabonis aboard. And Halliburton's cooled down back there. And Sabonis has just had a tremendous year. And, you know, guys, you can't control injuries. And with Herter going down and Monk going down, you know, you play that game against the Warriors and you're playing at home and you're fully loaded, I would say it's an even Steven game. You know, that's how good I think the team is. I think they've improved defensively. Because of Sabonis' passing skills, they present a unique offense in that you can run your offense through the center in the high post or down on the box, and you cut, and he makes beautiful passes. Herter was a great beneficiary. You talk about speed cuts off the ball, and he was a great cutter. Maybe he always didn't make every shot, but he presented a problem for the defense because when you have to go over the top of a screen, it opens up gaps. And I'm hoping Fox is healthy. I know he tweaked his ankle the other night. And it's going to be a great game. And I in summation, I know that Keegan Murray and Barnes are going to play really well. For me, the key, and role players, guys, play better at home. And it really holds true in the playoffs. So a young guy like Ellis, a guy like Mitchell, a guy like Lyles, those are going to be key guys. Who's going to step up to help you get the win?
Coach Gary St. Jean, nice enough to join us here, Drive Guys. Last year, Coach, you told us to keep an eye on certain matchups, and you may have given us a preview with your previous answer there. But which matchups will have most of your attention going into tomorrow night's game?
Well, I'm sure you guys are intrigued about whether they will sag off of Sabonis. That's going to be really interesting to me. And, you know, I'm seeing him more comfortable taking that shot. And he's earned the right to take those shots and just be confident and knock them down. That'll be really key. Now, here's the key there, though. They're going to have Davis probably starting, the rookie.
Yep.
And he's a heck of an athlete, probably a similar height, but not as big. And I love that matchup. And what that does is it frees up Green to be more of a center fielder on defense, where he's at his best. And that was a big, big change for the Warriors, starting Davis, bringing Clay back into the starting lineup. And, guys, a big key for that team, for me, is Wiggins and Kuminga. Mm-hmm. They give them the athleticism, whether it's, you know, paint touches, putting it on the bounce, getting in the paint to the rim. They get out in transition. Wiggins is a premier defender. So, but the Sabonis one is interesting to me, and I would say this about Fox, because I think, Kyle, you helped me here, Whitey. I think, what, the last seven or eight games, he struggled a little bit from three.
Mm-hmm.
So watch to see if the Warriors go over the top or under the screens with him, out around the top of the key. And if you give him a crease to get in there, nobody finishes better in the paint than him. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the chess match with those two guys. you know, Harrison has been up and down with his three, but you better get up and play Keegan right and tight. Because that guy, boy, what a beautiful looking shot. He's got a very, very bright future.
Coach Chick, Gary St. Jean joining us on the drive, guys. Coach, you brought up a good point, and I want to follow up on De'Aaron Fox and his three-point shooting. When you have a player like Fox who has added to his game, but yet his strong suit, let's keep it real, Coach, is still getting to his spots, getting to the bucket. How do you balance giving him the freedom to take those threes and let it fly versus, you know, still going to your bread and butter, which is attacking the paint?
Well, I think his first priority is going to be to attack the paint. He's as good as anybody in the business doing that. Now, the three ball, you know, that's Mike and him having a great discussion about, hey, if you make one, let's take three more. If you're struggling after two or three, let's put it in the pocket and bring it back out for the second half. You know, that kind of thing. All a player has to do is see a couple of shots, whether it's paint penetration or a couple free throws or mid-range, go down. Now that three-point line seems shorter. And, you know, I'm looking for him to have a huge game. He is a unique, special, terrific player.
Coach, one of the things that Kings fans worry about is Clay. You know, he still holds it against a team that they didn't draft him, even though that was, you know, it's like, those people aren't there anymore, Clay. But, you know how athletes are. He scored 37 in a quarter against them. Last year, he struggled all through the year. Looks like he's playing and shooting the ball a lot better right now. Where is Clay and how big of a concern is he for the Kings tomorrow night?
Yeah, you know, guys, I think physically it's probably the best he's felt all year. You guys think about that. You know, in my day, guys didn't come back from
right.
So way back when. You think of Bernard King, you know, yeah. ACL guys, and then you think of Achilles guys. You know, those are tough, tough injuries. And to have them both, it was not only physically taxing, it was mentally taxing. And he struggled this year. And Steve Kerr, a big part of coaching is beyond the X's and O's. It's the communication and the ability to earn the respect of the player and be honest with them and tell them, hey, I got your back. And obviously you play with joy when you win as much as the Warriors have the last decade. But, you know, I look at Mike Brown and I think he's a lot like Steve. I think he's great with his players. I love his X's and O's stuff. He's great after timeouts. And Clay is a guy right now feeling really, really good about his game. And you guys are right saying this. You don't want to see him make his first couple shots. Mm. Because if he does, he's dangerous. And I'll tell you a little thing. He and Davis have connected. Let's say Clay's coming off a baseline screen, and you've got Davis setting the screen for him, point forward up top with Green having the ball. Well, obviously, the big that's guarding Davis, he hedges out a little bit to make Clay's shot a little further. And when Clay finally catches it, he attacks middle, and then Davis rolls to the basket. Yeah. I've never seen Clay pass better. Never. Hmm. He's been a shoot-first guy, and there's a reason why, because he's a great shooter. But he and Davis have really had a nice connection. And you know, that'll be interesting to watch because, hey, you know, when you got Curry and you've got Thompson, they don't normally get in much foul trouble. But, you know, you could see them trying to attack Sabonis because if he gets in trouble, it's trouble for right. Big trouble for the Kings.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, when you look at, you know, the Warriors, I'm trying to put on my coaching hat. How would I attack them defensively? Like, meaning, how would I defend Steph sure. Curry? Is the key trying to being able to guard Steph one-on-one? Because I feel like they want you to double Steph. And then that opens it up
yes.
for everybody
yeah.
else. How critical is it going to be for a guy like Davion, Keon, whatever? We know how great yeah. Steph is, but to at least do a halfway decent job on Steph one-on-one.
Well, the first thing is if you have to chase him around, he tires you out because you guys know nobody moves better without the ball in the NBA. And when he's working down there on the baseline, holy moly, he's dangerous. Now, when he's out there with the pick and roll action, you know, then you look at, say, how are we going to play him? You know, are we going to double team him? Are we going to switch? Are we going to hedge out and recover? And if you switch, you know, he salivates when he gets a guy like Sabonis on him. He loves that. And then you guys all know about the step back action where he, you know, he goes right at the midsection of the defender, and he puts that inside foot there, and then he bounces back to create space. He's the master of that. But I would say this, you can't give him a steady diet. I would think Mike will switch it up. And I look for, I got to ask you guys this. I think Mitchell's done a pretty good, darn good job on him when he's guarded him during the regular season, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. He has actually.
Yeah.
I liked him. I've always liked his physicality, his strength. And I want to give him credit because I do see some improvement in his shot.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what's keeping him away from getting as many minutes as probably he'd like. And if he goes to work again in the offseason, you know, maybe he's going to make another big jump. But I think he's played a lot better and has been a nice piece there for them.
Coach, we'll let you go on this one. You know, tomorrow night, Kings home. Hopefully the crowd, we know the crowd will be into it. And you shared this story with us last year, and I just love the story. Could you tell us about that 96 series? You guys go out, you play the Sonics, they're huge favorites. They win game one, you win game two, come back home for the first playoff games in Sacramento in 10 years. How loud was the crowd for that game three, April 30th, 1996, as you guys are getting ready to play Seattle?
Hey, Whitey, how many years is that? My God, I can't add that high. I got to tell you guys, we had a rally before we left, and I think it was down at the Capitol. And obviously the fans were awesome because it was the first time after the team moved from Kansas City that they made the playoffs. So we split, and we're flying home, and we're on round ball one. That was Luke and Bill's plane. And we're pulling up, and the pilot comes on, and he says, "Fellas, look out the window and this side of the plane." And we all look out. And guys, there had to be 300-400 people there. You know, we came into the private terminal area, and we get off the plane. Holy moly, I thought we won the NBA championship or whatever. It was phenomenal. Just hugging and smiling and just cheering. It was fantastic. And then we fast forward, and we play the first game at home, and we go out there to warm up. And I was talking to Rocky the other night, Friday night. We were reminiscing about that, the great photographer. And we were reminiscing that the guys went out for the layup line, and for 20 straight minutes, they gave the players a standing ovation. I've never heard of that.
Wow.
And we coaches are back there. You go through your ritual, you know, why the players go out and warm up. And I kept hearing this roar, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? So we're at Arco, and I come out the locker room door, and you know how the tunnel was right there. Mm-hmm. And I walk a little way, and I'm saying, holy moly. You know, you just smiled. You just felt so good. It was a memory that I'll cherish for the rest of my life. It was fantastic.
And who knows if Mitch hadn't turned his ankle. Who knows, Coach? Who knows?
Hey, you know what? That's the truth, because we played darn well. I got to tell you, I look back at that, and we were playing Lionel at point forward. And, you know, Mitch, and I told Mitch, I said, "Mitch, and now I'm going to ask you to do something for me." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Oh, I need you to guard Peyton." He looked at me, those faces he used to make. He said, "Sane, are you crazy?" and it was unbelievable. And, you know, they were loaded, you know, with Kemp and Shrimp and all those guys, McMillan, and what a team that was. And, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. If Mitch played there, that would have been a big difference. But those are great, great memories. And, hey, you know, the Kings are going to play well tomorrow. I'm really confident of that. They look so much more, what's the right word, more seasoned than last year. The moment is not too big for them now. They understand what it takes. And, you know, they've got to circle up the wagons with those two guys being out. In my mind, Monk's the sixth man of the year. He had a fabulous year. I know that Vivek and his crew will step up and keep him there. And, you know, when you look at it, he's your third best guy.
Yeah.
And then you lose a heck of a perimeter guy. But the old saying, it's time for other guys to step up. And, you know, you're playing at home and somebody may get a hot hand. That young guy, Ellis, Kyle, didn't he have a game like within the last 3 weeks where he made eight threes or something?
Yes, yes, that was a big game. I forget who it was against, yeah. But they wound up losing that one, Coach. Him and De'Aaron. De'Aaron had seven. Keon had eight in that game.
Wow. And, well, hey, maybe and we hit 23 again.
That's the one that's we shot 58.
That was back. Was that New York or Boston?
Was that New York? OKC. OKC.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shot 58 threes. That was the OKC game, I believe it was. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the help, fellas, because I can't remember all the games. But I'm still nuts, you know. Every morning I check the standings, and every night MJ knows I'm on the couch, and I got my remote, and I'm going around the league. She said, you're stone cold crazy. And when I watch the Warriors, Kings, or the Suns, then I start getting a little excited, and then she says, I'm going in the other room.
Thank you, Saint. You're the best. We appreciate it very, very much and look forward to talking
guys,
to you again soon.
You guys do a great job up there. And listen, let's hope that the Kings get one. I say that quietly down here so nobody comes after me in Danville.
All right.
All right, Coach.
Thank you, Saint.
Take care, guys.
You too. Well, there's some encouraging news. Yeah. He says, Kings are going to play well tomorrow.
No, I like it. And his reasoning is spot on. You know, they've been there before now. They're not going to be in shock and awe or anything like that. Uh-huh. You know, I think they'll be ready. They'll get their hard hats on and, you know, and be ready to take on the Slater Dragon, if you will, tomorrow.
Now, Coach mentioned that he says Vivek will step up and they'll keep Monk. Does this concern you at all from that standpoint? Suns guard Grayson Allen has agreed on a four-year $70 million contract extension that includes a player option. So this keeps him out of unrestricted free agency. And there's a guy who started 73 games, 13.4 points per game, 4 years, $70 million. Does that make you a little nervous about what some other team that has the cap space might offer Malik?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No, that's spot on. I think.
But he's better than Grayson Allen.
He is, but.
That's the thing.
Just because the Suns overpay, that don't mean somebody else needs to overpay for Malik. I think Malik will get the 480, 490 kind of treatment. Mm-hmm. $25 million a year is a lot. Like, I don't think they'll go 400. And so that's right in line with what I think Malik will get.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit more.
Yeah, because the most they can offer is 478,
we 78, think. Yes. Mm-hmm. 478. And
he loves it here.
Loves
and
it here.
Buddy plays here.
Buddy plays. A growing team, up-and-coming team. I saw that and I thought, man, the Suns gave Grayson a lot, but that doesn't to me impact Malik because if I'm Malik, I'm saying, oh, well, I deserve more than Grayson. You do. How about 4 years, $80 million, you know? And so I think that's his market.
Yeah. It's a great point you make about them overpaying because of the cap situation. They could have replaced, that is the Suns could have replaced Grayson Allen only with minimum contract free agents. So that was the choice, either overpay to keep him or you got to bring in minimum contract guys.
Yes.
So of those two options, overpaying would appear to be.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you look at Malik as well, that's why it's so critical to bring him back. It's not like you could use that $20 million to go out there and sign another $20 million player. And so for the Sacramento Kings, like, the contract should already be out there, right? Here's 478. Like, we'll give you the most we can give you because we can't use that money elsewhere.
From Woj, ESPN, maybe you saw this.
Oh.
Grayson Allen, $15.6 million salary in the first year of the deal. With the luxury tax, it'll cost the Suns $79 million in payroll and tax.
Mm.
15.6 to the player, cost the team $79 million. So Matt Ishbia's projected payroll for next year, $206 million with an additional $104 million in luxury tax. Highest in the league.
Highest in the league?
Yeah.
Higher than the Warriors?
Next year, yeah.
Yeah, I guess Clay next year. Yeah, Chris Paul, I believe, is coming off for the Warriors as well. Wow.
I mean, that's talking $310 million for a team that.
That's,
you know,
not even
the future is now, right? It's not like they're building
They got
to be better in 3 or 4 years.
No, you're right. It's the future is now, and they're all in. And this is their team. It's not like they can make any big moves or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. But how about OKC, number one seed, the average age 23.
They're going to be here for a minute. Yeah.
Yes. When we come back, how will tomorrow's play-in look different from last year's playoff series against the Warriors? Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.